Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Joe DiBiase. I'm not sure I really got anything to say right now. Well, that's not a good thing because I'm going to be talking for the next 20 minutes here.
And my name's Jordan Hanskin, and somebody liked a tweet of mine from 2016 today, and that's really weird.
Interesting. Can I know who it was? Not without giving the name. Like, was it a friend? Was it a former friend?
Random Twitter user. Person okay. I've never heard of before in my life. And the tweet was so funny. The tweet made, it actually made me laugh because it pops up at the top of my tweet deck now. And it's a tweet from May 30th, 2016 that I posted that said, "When it's the weekend and you forgot to turn off your alarm clock and it goes off. Hashtag." And it's a picture of, if you remember the caveman SpongeBob episode of SpongeGar. And it's just a picture of him, and I laughed. So my comedy game was strong in 2016.
Someone was stalking your Twitter.
Yeah,
you got to be careful with that. You know, sometimes you're like, hey, what's this person up to? And you go through their social media a little bit, and if you go any far back, like anything more than a week, you got to be extra cautious, because if you accidentally like something from like 4 years back, you are in for it. Like, what's your explanation? You don't have an explanation. Yeah, you just got to pretend you never see the person again.
And it was 15 hours ago, which means that's a weird time of the night.
Yes. 1 a.m.
Very strange. Something strange is going on.
And this is the Locked On Sabres podcast. We've got stuff to talk about today. Eric Staal filled up our week last week. Sabres making a trade that really we should be able to talk about it for months. I mean, the effects of Eric Staal being a Buffalo Sabre, because I don't know, I was prepared and ready to do podcasts on free agency and more trade targets, on who the Sabres should be targeting for second line center. And Jordan, they kind of killed like half our content for the offseason.
I know. They're going to roll with Eric Staal, and now they're going to be boring probably the rest of the way.
Well, they do have an opening in the top six. We still have that to talk about, and now it doesn't have to be a center. It still could be, I guess, but now we can maybe just shift our focus more towards some wingers the Sabres could bring in, and maybe it has to be an expensive type of winger, given that the Sabres are now one of reported 17 teams that are considering an internal salary cap for next season. We spent a little bit of time on that on our last podcast. Be sure to check out us on Twitter, by the way. I'm at SneakyJoeWGR. Jordan's at JR Hanskin. At Locked On Sabres is the Twitter account for the podcast. Jordan's going to name number 16 in our Sabres 50 list. We're going to get back into that today. I was the last to go last week naming Jason Pominville as number 15 in Sabre history, the 15th greatest individual in Sabre history. I thought that went pretty well. Nobody thought that was a reach. I thought maybe that might have been considered that, but it doesn't look that way. We got some Stanley Cup final action to talk about, and we've got a little lineup game that I want to play, because right now I think the Sabres have five of the six filled spots in their top six, and we could just have a little fun with like our best case scenario for that last opening in their top six. So we'll do that as well. And Victor Olofsson, by the way, in the news, Victor Olofsson making the all rookie team for the NHL. And I think that was well-deserved. He didn't really finish as high as I thought he might in the Rookie of the Year voting. I think he finished sixth. I also did find it funny that there was a certain Buffalo media member who had his ballot disqualified because he listed a defenseman as a forward. And listen, like, that's a fun mistake to poke fun at. But, Jordan, I don't know if you saw some of the media voting for the NHL awards, which were announced on Tuesday night, like Leon Draisaitl, or Monday night, Leon Draisaitl winning the Hart Trophy for MVP of the league, some of the Norris voting. Like, Drew Doughty got a Norris vote. And I can only imagine, you cannot tell me that you're going to vote for Drew Doughty for the Norris if you've watched Drew Doughty in the last 24 months. Like, he is nowhere near that level of defenseman anymore. But he plays on the West Coast, and I can imagine that someone over on the East Coast doesn't watch late hockey, just goes, oh yeah, he's probably still really good, right? Like, I figure some of this is in college football too. Isn't there something always said about, hey, the Pac-12 never gets like the right amount of votes in the Heisman voting. Like, to me, that's what happened with the NHL voting. Like, nobody saw Drew Doughty play hockey, and I can't believe that he got a Norris vote. I'm hot about it.
But, I mean, usually the thing that's funny, though, is in college football with the Heisman vote is it normally doesn't lead – if nobody watches that team play, it normally doesn't lead them to win. They don't okay. say, oh, well, I heard the name McCaffrey before, so he wins the Heisman. I've never saw him play.
Yeah.
This is the funniest where it's just like, Drew Doughty, he's good. I'll put him on the board.
Sure. He's still great. Yeah. I know who that is.
It's weird putting your name behind a vote when you don't watch the person play. I find that funny. I love the defense of Wavero saying like, oh, I'm fallible. Sorry. well, your job is to know the hockey players.
Defense, like,
getting the position wrong.
Forward versus defenseman is not, you know, advanced analytics or anything.
And I also get, like, I know that, you know, most people's work, I do get the other argument is like most people's work is not put on public display for you to then get roasted on the internet. But getting the position wrong is just funny. It's just a funny moment for sure.
Yeah. I have no, I'm not going to let up on that. I think it's hilarious and it's a terrible job. So Victor Olsson, as I mentioned, makes the all-rookie team. He's one of these five players that I've penciled in to the top six. We'll talk about that in a second. But real quick, Dallas Stars, Tampa Bay Lightning, Stanley Cup Final. The series is tied at one apiece. And it's been okay hockey so far. It hasn't been the most entertaining to me. And I think it's also, of course, with the current climate of sports. This is why hockey would never in their wildest dreams want to have the Stanley Cup final going up against NFL football. That's why every sport steers clear of competing with NFL football. The NHL had historically low ratings. And I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm one of the biggest hockey fans alive. I'm maybe like Jordan, you know this, whenever we have friend get togethers, like I'm always the guy that's trying to throw hockey on the TV. And I'm not even really paying a whole lot of attention to these finals either, so I can't imagine any casual sports fan is.
No, I mean, football's king. I was actually talking, I was watching, you know, games over the weekend with my dad, and it's like, oh, the Cup Final's on. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm locked in on.
Give me Lions Bears.
Yeah, I have no. I gotta see what Jeff Driskel is gonna pull out of his hat on this drive. I don't know what it is about football. I don't know why. I love hockey, mainly the Sabres. Like, I think, like, if it's the Sabres in the Cup Final, I'll watch. If it's the Sabres in a regular season game, I'll watch over, you know, random other teams. But I do find it hard. There's not much excitement or energy in this Cup Final. It's two Southern teams. I think that hurts a little bit. You know, I'm not an original six apologist, so people don't start yelling at me about that. but there is more of a push if there's, you know, a Canadian team or fans in general. Like, I think that it's like Dallas who's won already, Tampa who's won already. I think if the Islanders were in, it would be a much more, I think it would be. Maybe the quality of hockey would be less, but I think there would be a little bit more energy around the games.
Or even Vegas, if they had been in the finals, it just would have felt like a sexier matchup, Tampa and Vegas. And well,
that would have been more marquee, right? Dallas is sure. Like the underdog team. They weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't have star power, though.
No, they do have a lot of it. Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Joe Pavelski, Corey Perry. I mean, Miro Heiskanen has not got star power yet, but here he comes. I mean, he, to me, should win.
Really good.
Oh, yeah. Heiskanen, 20 years old, leading that team in points, over a point a game. I mean, his advanced metrics look awesome. They always have the puck when he's on the ice. Like, he is a star. He's going to be he's going to be in the conversation with Dahlin, I think, and Cale Makar and maybe Quinn Hughes, like, as the top four defensemen in hockey for a very long time. Like, as Chara leaves the sport at some point here and Drew Doughty is now a shell of himself. Very happy I was able to get that in for a second time on this podcast. And you've got other guys around the league that are starting to get a little bit older, aging out. That young crop of defensemen, Heiskanen, Dahlin, Makar, Hughes. Like, those four are coming to basically lord over the league, I think, for a decade plus as the best defenseman in hockey. So there's that. One question that I've had some fun with on social media last week on the Stanley Cup final, and I'll pose it to you now. Which former Sabre do you want to see win a cup the most? There are three in this series. Zach Bogosian for Tampa, and then Andre Sekera and Taylor Fadun, if you want them, for Dallas. Of those three, who do you most want to see?
There's only one answer for this. It's Sekera, or Sakura, as he was known after playing for the Sabres. I don't think it's even close. I know Bogosian, good guy, everything. But I mean, Sekera have played for some good Sabres teams and played some entertaining hockey. I remember him as like a rookie playing with Spacek. I'm really pulling for Sekera. He's also older. You know, I'd rather have the guy that has less chances. If Bogosian stays on Tampa, like he might have like another three cracks at this.
Yeah, Sekera's 34 years old. He's playing a lesser role now with Dallas than he did in Edmonton for a couple of years. He's playing 18 minutes a night, actually, on the nose for the Stars this season as more of like a second pair, even third pair defenseman. But at his advanced age, I mean, that's still a pretty good job for being 34 years old and being a second pair defenseman on a really good team. And after he left Buffalo, like even before, like, he's been over 20 minutes a lot throughout his career. He's always been undervalued. Sabres trade him for almost nothing. I guess almost, not almost nothing. The pick did become JT Compher. Tim Murray just happened to make that a throw-in to a Ryan O'Reilly trade. So yeah,
that stinks.
So my answer would be Sekera, too, although I will say Bogosian, even though he drove me nuts as a player. Definitely a good guy, and I appreciated that he would give you something in the media. He would not just try to get it over with, and I appreciate that, and I will feel good for him if he wins the cup, but I also don't want to be proven wrong, and I think he's an awful defenseman, so I don't want to see that work.
Well, Lightning fans, if you saw the Game 1 Twitter,
were unhappy.
Lightning fans were noticing Zach Bogosian in the worst of ways.
Just hope he doesn't cost them a cup, because the victory laps I'm going to be doing on what he was.
If you remember, I don't know if you remember a few years back, like Mike Weber's last season, he was traded to the Capitals. And was the sole reason that they gave up their series clinching loss, losing goal.
Yes.
He turned over Ovechkin. They showed Ovechkin on the bench, like mouth like wide open, just like, what just happened? I don't want that to happen to another former Sabre.
Want to take a minute to talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar is improved and even more deliciouser than ever. Six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That's to go along with your 12 original flavors: coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, and peanut butter brownie. All bars 100% covered in chocolate. All bars soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL.
Joe DiBiase, Jordan Hanskin here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. All right, let's fill in the blank here. Eichel, Reinhart, Olofsson, Staal, Skinner, and blank. And I have an answer for this question. I'll go first if you want, as to like what my dream scenario that is realistic is for the Sabres in this upcoming offseason. But my dream scenario right now is for the Sabres to go sign a Mikael Granlund. And I like the position versatility there. He's always been intriguing to me as a free agent option. It coupled with the fact that he just had a down season. And this is dependent on being able to get him on a team-friendly contract. Maybe the fact that the market is about to dictate what is about to happen, in that it sounds like if teams are going to be internal caps, the players aren't going to get a whole lot. So maybe I could get Mikael Granlund, formerly of the Nashville Predators and the Minnesota Wild, on a pretty cheap deal. And he does play center, but I think he is better served to be on the wing. And if he does give me some flexibility to have to play center if we get an injury to one of the Sabres' top guys. So Mikael Granlund on a 2-3 year deal around $3-4 million. That to me is a realistic free agent option for a player that had a bad year, but we know has ability, had a 260 plus point seasons a couple of years back. And I think on a second line with Eric Staal and Jeff Skinner, the Sabres would have a pretty strong position in terms of their forward group. What about you? Is there a name that sticks out for you on what the Sabres should do with that last top six center spot or wing spot? Or do you think they should just kind of fill it in-house?
Free agency wise, I'm not overly impressed by the names. Granlund would be great. I mean, Taylor I'm Hall interested in Vladislav Namestnikov a little bit. Probably cheaper than Granlund.
Probably.
I know he's like, I think he's a center slash wing. He can play both. Kind of like you're just kind of adding another Marcus Johansson, which wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm also just kind of hoping the prospects graduate and they can play, you know, hopefully Tage Thompson's somewhat good. Hopefully, you know, you can kind of do something. Hopefully Mittelstadt can do something.
Who's most likely of that group? Who's most likely you think of that group? Is it Thompson?
To play second line wing?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's Cousins. Maybe it's Cousins.
I'd rather have Cousins play third line center.
I want Larson. I want Johan Larson here as the team's third line center.
I want him fourth line center.
Okay. Well, we're not too far off there then.
No, I think I definitely want Larson back. There's no doubt about that. But I'd like to see Cousins playing his position. You know, I think we ended up getting Reinhart. We wanted to get Reinhart in the top six.
Good point.
We ended up putting him at wing, and now he's there forever. Because he was good at it. Whereas Dylan Cousins, I don't want to get caught up in that problem again.
Great point.
I could get to put at wing, and I'd be okay with that. Thompson, yes. Ideally, if he can be good. I still think every time I watched Tage Thompson, I was like, this guy, there's something here that you could mold a little bit. Like, he's got some something there that
he's
like,
got
I like.
He's got skills. He just has no idea how to use them.
Right. If he could just so hopefully sometime in Rochester would have helped him out there. But
I have read that's
where I'm at with the Sabres.
I have read some glowing analysis about what he did in his limited time in Rochester before his injury this past season. So that is some hope. I'm also writing off Mittelstadt at this point as a center. So maybe he is that answer to be able to give you something on the wing. I mean, I don't think there's ever been someone in any sports conversation I've ever had ever who has said something and I instantly go, oh, wait a minute, I'm wrong. Because I just totally did that with Dylan Cousins. You're right. I want no part of Dylan Cousins on the wing because I don't want any chance of him sticking there. I have hated the fact that Sam Reinhart has to be a winger now, and because we started him off that way as a young rookie and we can never go back to center. And I don't want that to ever happen again with any other player with the Sabres. So try him out at center. If it doesn't work, then you go to wing. I don't want to do it the other way around. So good job there. Because no thanks now for me on Cousins' second line center or second line winger. All right, we'll have more in-depth conversations about options on that front on who could be another top six player that the Sabres bring in. We'll evaluate some of those in-house options, and we will do a full dive on free agency, which we are about a month away from now. So we're really going to ramp that up. And stay tuned for our next episode because we are going to do a full dive on Alex Pietrangelo as an idea. And I don't think it's a very realistic. I don't think it's a very realistic idea. Jordan's laughing. Maybe that should be the podcast.
Hey, but would you like to win 30 games?
But I'm just saying, that guy is about to be available, and nobody thought he was going to be. I mean, everyone was assuming that he was going back to the St. Louis Blues. And if the Sabres want to make an exception to their internal cap and throw a ton of money at Alex Pietrangelo, I'm just saying. Jordan doesn't think it's a realistic idea, obviously.
I just don't know how he's going to be like, hello, Colorado. Hello,
Pittsburgh.
Hey, Toronto. Hello, Washington. I'm gonna go with the Sabres offer.
They would like laugh in his face on the phone.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. All right. Well, more of that hopefully on our next episode. So stay tuned.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting simple started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LockedOnNHL. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the promo code LockedOnNHL. Don't forget, that's code LockedOnNHL for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Joe DiBiase, Jordan Hanskin, back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. All right, Jordan, you're on the clock. Number 16 on our Sabres 50 list. We are through 15 individuals, the greatest individuals in Sabre history. We're going one by one, taking us up until the next Sabres game, which was still a few months away at the least. Number one was Dominic Hasek. Number two, Gilbert Perreault. Number three, Lindy Ruff. Number four, Rick Jeanneret. Number five, the Knoxes. Number six, Rob Ray. Number seven, Rick Martin. Number eight, Ryan Miller. Number nine, Danny Gare. Number 10, Rene Robert. Number 11, Pat LaFontaine, a pretty controversial slide from LaFontaine, falling down the board there. Number 12, Dave Andrechuk. Number 13, Alex McGillney. Number 14, Phil Housley. Number 15, Jason Pominville. Number 16, the 16th greatest individual in Sabres history is who?
I am going to go with this is a tough call, and I'm going to go with Don Luce here.
Wow, Donnie Luce. I love
a
it.
A lot of games played, I've noticed. A lot of assists. Seventh all-time in points. I guess if you're doing points just on that basis alone, you'd say, oh, compiler, you just played a lot of games for the Sabres. But in this list, I think playing a lot of games for the Sabres matters. It's a guy that's kind of been a staple. He was in years that I don't know all that much about, but I feel like he's a worthy person to be in the top 20.
You don't know much about that 1980 Sabre season where he finished third in the Selke voting?
No, but that's great. That's bronze in the Selke. Bronze in the Selke.
I like this pick. He was a key contributor to my all-time Sabres tournament team that we simulated in NHL.
I think maybe that was part of it too. I just
was it
seeing Don Luce's name pop up on as Tom Barrasso fishes a puck out of the net.
He was everywhere in that tournament. No, you're right. Consistency. I mean, look at 74. Not even go before that. 73 through 1980. That's a 7-year stretch where he had 40 plus points every season. And most of those seasons were more than 40. I mean, 75, 76 points. The next year, 70 points, then 69, then 61, then 61. Like, he was consistently above 60 points for a five-year stretch there. And even the seasons on the beginning and end of that were pretty good as well. So I like the Don Luce pick. He has been around the area a lot. He's been a part of the organization a lot throughout his career as well. And I believe his son is in the organization, if I remember correctly. I'm not 100% sure. But also, Luce served as an assistant coach for the Sabres in 1987. And I'm reading from his Wikipedia page right here because I was considering him for our last pick. And I brought this back up because there's one line in his Wikipedia page that I love. He served as the Sabres' head of player development from the end of his term as assistant coach in 87 through July 2006. So for 20 years, he was their head of player development. And Wikipedia says, until July 2006, when the team let him go and cut much of their scouting department, Luce had been responsible for bringing in the likes of Alexander McGillney, Maxim Afinogenov, Martin Baron, Brian Campbell, and Jason Pominville. So, hey, he's not only was he a great player, he's responsible for bringing in the 15th and the 13th greatest players in team history, according to us.
Yeah, pretty darn good.
Pretty good. All right, so Don Luce, that is our name. His grandson, by the way, Griffin Luce, played at the University of Michigan. I remember seeing him at Sabres development camp. Never signed with the team, as far as I know, but his son plays hockey as well. All right, Don Luce is in at number 16. Thanks, everybody, for listening on today's podcast. We're going to preview Alex Pietrangelo. I can't say it now without laughing because Jordan's laughing. As a free agent idea, and just as a free agent in general, the fact that he's hitting the open market, maybe what it says about the market on our next episode. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR, at JR Hanskin, at Locked On Sabres, all on Twitter. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.